Okay, so tonight's learning is dedicated to Ili Nishmas Reb Meir Ben Chaim Eliezer. So our learning should be a merit as a chus for the first neshama. We thank the sponsors. I would start, I guess, by asking, what is the largest distance in the world? The greatest separation in the world?
Like physical distance?
Physical distance. Heaven and earth? What's the biggest difference?
Here in the end of space.
Here in the end of space. Space is constantly expanding. So the Kotzkreb says the greatest distance in the world is between our head and our heart. There's lots of things we know intellectually, but it's a great distance between, you know, how we actually live our lives based upon that. So Pirkei Avos is really trying to get us to be refocused and to think about the important things. I heard a cute story. There's a guy gets pulled over for speeding. He's driving in a... The cop asks him, he says, you know, what's going on? Why are you in such a rush? So he says, well, you know, I'm a magician and I'm a juggler and I'm late because I'm supposed to be performing at the circus and I'm late. That's why I was speeding. So the cop says, really? You're a magician? He goes, yeah, because you know how to juggle. He goes, yeah, I'm good. He says, you know what? I'll tell you the truth. You were speeding, but I have a soft spot in my heart. I like jugglers. Maybe do a little routine for me and I'll let you off the hook. So the guy says, well, I would love to, but I sent all of my stuff ahead to the circus. I don't have any of my equipment, any of my tools with me. So the cop says, no problem. I have some like flares, you know, torches that we light up. I have in my car. Let's do that. He says, okay. So the cop goes, he lights up like five different torches, five flares. The juggler's, standing by the side of the road. He's juggling. The cop's enjoying it. And all of a sudden, this car slows down, pulls over to the side right behind them. This guy gets out of his car and he's like drunk. And he's just standing there and he's watching. He sees the cop. He looks at the guy juggling. Looks back at the cop. Looks back at the juggler. Gets in. He walks in. Goes. Opens up the back seat of the cop car and sits down. The cop says, excuse me, what are you doing? He says, I've been drinking. There's no way I could pass that test. So just take me straight to jail. Let me show you. Look in the first source for a second. The Gemara, I'm sorry, the Mishnah. It's Pirkei Avos. The first five Mishnayos are... The first five chapters are Mishnayos. The last chapter is a separate, it's called Kinyan HaTorah. So we have a statement which I'm sure you guys have heard of before. The Mishnah says in the first source, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema Omer, Havei Azkenon, should be strong, bold like a leopard. Kal Kinesher, be light like an eagle. Little plug for the Nala eagles right there. Ratz Kitzvi, run like a deer. Gibor Ka'ari, strong like a lion. Lasos Ratzon Avicha Sheva Shemayim. These are the different character traits. So it reminds me, the Gemara says in Erevin that if the Torah hadn't been given, you could learn certain character traits from animals. There's something you could learn from an ant, there's something you could learn from a cat. So the Baba Tshuva once said, well, yes, that's true. That was if the Torah hadn't been given. But now that the Torah has been given, all of our midos and all of our character traits have to be learned from the Torah. What the Torah says is proper derech eretz. So it continues now, the statement of Yehuda ben Taman. He says, Hu ay omer az ponim legehinim. The person who's arrogant, they're going to end up in Gehinnom. So let's stop for a second and try to figure out what exactly is the Jewish concept of Gehinnom. What would you say? It's not a good place. What is that? What's that all about? Any thoughts? Tova? What do you say? What's Gehinnom?
Don't grow Olam
Haba. It's the opposite of Olam Haba, right? Okay. Well, let's look at the next one. Uboshes pawn on the Gan Eden. So you have like the two extremes are Gan Eden and Gehinnom. So if you're Azponim, it translates being you're arrogant, you're going to go to Gehinnom. And you have Boshes Ponim, you have Busha, you have a little bit of shame, embarrassment, you're going to go to Gan Eden. So what's Gehinnom? You ever thought about this? It sounds a really bad place. I don't want to get there. So imagine everyone's enjoying this pizza. Okay, so like I spilled. Now I got a pizza. I got tomato sauce all over my nice white shirt. So what do you do when you get tomato sauce on your nice white Shabbos shirt? What do? Stain treated, of course. And how does the stain come out? You gotta spray. You gotta launder it, no? Imagine Gehinnom was like one big spiritual laundromat where all the stains, all the tomato sauce that we put onto our beautiful neshama, our beautiful nice Shabbos clothing, gotta be taken out. So that's what Gehinnom is. Gehinnom is a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu purifies the neshama so they can go back. You don't end up in Gehinnom forever unless you're like really, really bad. But most people, they spend a little time in Gehenna and they end up in Gan Eden, but you have to be able to appreciate it. Imagine you're having, looking around, don't see, imagine you're like a very nice beverage, something you want to enjoy drinking. You wouldn't put it into a dirty cup. You'd serve into a nice... Oh, there, in the back. Here we have an empty big gulp in the back. There you go. Okay, good. You want to serve, you have a king. You're not going to give something like a little big gulp. It's like, you know, it's like for takeout. If you have an expensive, special guest, you want to give them a real special thing. For the neshama to be able to appreciate Gan Eden, it has to be purified. And that's really what Gehenna is. But really, let's focus on this for a minute. Pirkei Avos says here, as ponim Gehenna, you're going to go to Gehenna, but the boshes ponim will go to Gan Eden. So it sounds like, you know, you should never have Azus Ponim. But the Rambam in the next source says there's sometimes when it's appropriate. Right? The Rambam writes, even though it says that, you know, Az Ponim the Gehenim, the brazen, they're going to go to Gehenim, sometimes you have to have a little bit necessary when you have to stand strong against people who are rebelling against the Torah. We talked about last Thursday, we had a class for the Yortzeit of Chacham Vadi Yosef. And we told a story there about how there was a young man who was like just not into learning. And if you remember, they said, Chacham, maybe you can do a little spiritual flex. Maybe you could show off for a little bit. So they asked the kid to pick up any volume in his 40,000 svarim in his house and read one line. And Chacham, he finished the sentence. He had 40,000 svarim memorized line by line. Right? So when the kid saw this, that was like life-changing. Now, you know, really made his whole trajectory of how he wanted to live his life. With switches all that. So there are times when you have to have a little bit of a flex. Let me ask you a question. We talked about the distance between the heaven and the heart. What's the connecting bridge between one's guf and their neshama? What unites the body and the soul? Yeah?
They work together.
They work together. What connects them? Your body's your body, and your soul is your soul. What connects the body and the soul? What's the... Yeah? The person. What about the person? Who they are. Good. That's exactly right. A person is defined by their midos. Our midos are who we are. Like we talk about a kind person, a generous person, a stingy person, an angry person, a nice... Like these are our midos. Midos are that gap. The bridge. I'm saying that bridge is the gap. I said that wrong. Midos are what bridges the gap between the body and the neshama. So... When we want to look at the midos are really what make us human. An animal doesn't have midos. An animal just has natural, like, gut. An animal's angry, an animal's scared, an animal's hungry. It just does what it needs to. But a human being has this ability to cultivate the midos. So we want to understand what is the central defining character trait of a human being. So there's a rule. This rule is not... said by one person, many people suggest this idea. You have the Vilna Gaon says this idea. You have the Bnei Yisachar says this. But if you look on source number 3 from Reb Tzadok HaKohen, he says here that the Preet Tzadok, that's the name of the Sefer, he writes, look what he says here. V'chol mila b'makam shehu nizkar rishona. Any word, the first time it's mentioned, I mean the first time it comes up in the Torah, sham hu giloi shorish inyono. That's the root of everything. If you want to know what the word means, so for example, you had in Parshas Bereishis, Hashem saw the light and says Tov. So whenever you find the word Tov, it's connected to light. Remember little Moshe, baby Moses floating in the Nile River? You remember the story? You saw the movie, right? Prince of Egypt? No, the book's better than the movie. The book's better than the movie. But Moshe, it says Moshe, they saw he was Tov. And the Chazal teaches that the whole house was filled with light when Moshe was born, because Tov is connected to light, and the way we know is because the first time Tov is mentioned in Chumash, that's it. Rosh Hashanah first says this, that the word shame and sham, right, the two letters is then, the shame, the name of something, the idea of it, sham, that's where it is, that's the place. So now we want to figure out, what's the first midah? Again, midos define us, midos make us uniquely human, different than everything else. What is the first human midah that's ever mentioned in the Chumash? What do you say? This is audience participation. What's the first mida you find in the Chumash? Yeah?
Adam davened for plants.
Okay. We find Adam davening. Now that's Rashi. Rashi says that the plants are right below the surface level, and when Adam davened, he realized the need for them. He davened for them. See something fascinating? You see that nothing comes into the world without tefillah, right? Yeah, you darshaned on this at your Bas Mitzvah? The need for tefillah? Excellent. So right, it's based on Rashi. What's the meat of the character trait besides the act? That's an action of davening. Look in the next source we had recently, Parshas Bereishis. The first time, again, most things happen for the first time in Bereishis, so we'll start with that. V'yu shnehim arumim, the two of them, Adam and Chava, right? Adam v'ishto, we're arumim, we're unclothed. V'lo yizboshashu, they weren't shamed. That shame, embarrassment, is the first major meat that you find with that. Right, so you find, since mankind has this as its first thing, it's kind of it's a slogan. It would seem that like that's like almost the defining essential character trait. Right now, what I'm saying over here, if you see the top, this is based upon teachings from Rav Aaron Lopiansky, Rosh Hashiva in Silver Spring. So he's the one who really does delicacy. Look on the next page for a second. He says that later on, you find that the idea of shame turns into the meat of fear. Right again. In Bereishis, Vayomer es kolcha shamati began. Adam answers back when Hashem says, "Where are you?" He says, "Why are you hiding?" He says, "I heard your voice, the ira, and then I became afraid. Ki'ero manochi, and I hid." So the shame now kind of transforms a little bit. You know, like Optimus Prime, the Transformers. No, you're holding you girls. The boys know what Transformers. You know what Transformers are?
A ton of them.
Yeah. Not young, but no, they're like neighbors. I just play with my neighbors' Transformers.
My brother has like a collection.
Has a collection? Okay, so we have Transformers here, that the Midah of shame transformed itself into this Midah of fear. That's why he's afraid. Now this idea of fear and really shame is fascinating. Let's start with the next source, the Pasuk in Parshas Yisro, describing Matan Torah. V'yomer Moshe el ha'am, al tir. That Hashem wants He's testing you. The fear of God should be with you on your faces. You shouldn't do a chet. You shouldn't sin. The Gemara explains this, that there's a deeper meaning over here. If you see now, the Gemara is really working off this. The Gemara in the Dharma, in the next source, number 7. Tanya bavurti yiras al panechem. That's the pasuk. Zubusha. This is the character trait of shame. The Vilti Techto Milamed, this comes to teach us, the Pasuk, Shehabusha Mevia Lede Yiras Chet. That if you have Busha, you'll be afraid of doing anything wrong. Mikan Omer, from here we said, a Simon Yafabaldim, here's a good sign. Shu Baishan, it's a good sign for a person to be a Baishan, to be someone who is, to experience shame. So let's just pause for a second. Why would it be a good thing? Why would it be a good thing to experience shame? You know, I'm so ashamed, I'm so embarrassed, but the Gemara says that's a good thing. Yeah, 1, 2. What do you say?
You can like learn from it.
Excellent, you can learn from it. What do you say?
A lot of the time people are embarrassed because they did something wrong, and if you're able to feel shame, it means you know you were wrong and you're able to accept that.
Beautiful. You know you did something wrong. If you don't feel ashamed when you're doing something wrong, that shows that what? Something's off. Right? There's something wrong. The fact that a person feels a sense of shame for behaving inappropriately shows that at least I'm oriented in the right way. That there's something that I realize this. So we see that it's a good thing, right? It's a good thing to feel shamed. So now, if that's true, though, well, let me tell you another source that talks about this idea about the shame and the fear. Meaning, when we're talking about fear as well, besides, like we say, the tzad hashava, what's the common characteristics besides the fact they're both like unpleasant things? No one likes to be afraid. No one likes to feel shame. But is there anything that connects the two more than that? So the next source is the Gemara in Yevamos, where it says shlosha simanim yesh beumazu. There are three character traits of this nation, of the Klal Yisrael. Rachmanim, we have rachmanis. The Jewish people, have kindness. We feel bad for people. There's a cute story that I heard over probably 25 years ago. That I heard this from Rabbi Mori Ruvel in Mivaseret. He was giving a Moser Shmuz, and he told us a story where there was a guy who, he asked like this, he did two things. He says, what was the biggest family reunion in the world? Like, I don't know what's the largest family. It says like 25,000 people in one family. So what was it? They all owned the same type of automobile. They made a family of Hyundai. Are they even make Hyundai cars around anymore? They do or they don't, yeah? So the Hyundai in the 90s made a family unit because we're all one big family. Anybody who drives our cars while part of the family, so they made a family unit of 25,000 people. Now really, the fact that you and I drive the same automobile doesn't really make us family. But they were trying, maybe it was publicity, maybe it was marketing, whatever it was, that's how they did it. So he contrasted that very strange use of the word of family, where it really isn't anything that really connects us, with the following story. And this reminds me of this, the Gemara. There was a gentleman who, his car broke down, and he had a yarmulke on his head. So another Jew, when you're driving down the highway, you see someone breaks down, you look to see if they're Jewish or not. So someone else saw, pulled over. And when he gets out of the car to help the guy, he notices the guy has a huge cross. A huge cross on his head. He's got the yarmulke. It's like this Jew's like, I pulled over already. I'm not going to get back in my car. And so, okay, I helped him. I changed his tire. And then I couldn't help myself. I was curious. I said, my high, what's going on over here? I see, you got the cross. You're wearing a yarmulke. Like, you're Jewish. You're not Jewish. The guy goes, no, I'm not Jewish. But my mother told me, keep a spare one of these yarmulkes, one of these kippas in your glove compartment. Why? Because if you ever get a flat tire and you pull over by the side of the road, just put it on and somebody, a Jewish person, will see you and they'll come over and help you. So that's what I did. Like, yeah, you see him. I have a cross. I'm not Jewish. The guy's like, what? He goes, yeah, true story. But that, I think that really speaks volumes about who we are as a people. Like, when we see someone with a yarmulke, we automatically want to help because we're not like Hyundai car drivers. We're like actual real family. We feel a sense of connection to our fellow Jews. And if someone's in help, they got a flat tire, they're stuck by the side of the road, I'm going to pull over and see if I can help, make a phone call for them, right? Chaveirim, all these beautiful Hatzalah, we have all these wonderful organizations because we feel that. We have Rachmanos, we want to help out, our real family. So you have a very distorted sense of family of driving the same piece of metal, an automobile. It's ridiculous. But the real sense of family is that what Klal Yisrael feels connected. So that's one of our three character traits. We're Rachmanim. But the second one here is Baishanim. The fact that we have a busha, as we said, that the person can feel a sense of shame, that's a wonderful thing. That's one of our defining quality traits, that we feel when appropriate, we're embarrassed. V'gomli chasodim, right? And we do chesed for each other. The Gemara talks about how the Jewish people are so generous. You ask for money for tzedakah, they'll give to you. You ask for collecting for the chet ha'egel, we'll give you money. Like, we just give and give and give. It's part of our quality traits. So let's try to develop this a little bit more about this. If you look in the next source, the Gemara says we have a different character trait as well, right? That the person. Well, let me go slow. Let's see the Gemara now. Another question? That was a hand thing. That was a question. Mm-hmm. You have a question? No. Okay. The Gemara says in Beitza, the next source, Tanim Shmei de Rebbe Meir Mipnei Ma Nitna Torah LiYisrael. What character traits do we have that enabled us to get the Torah? Mipnei Shehem Azim. Because how do you translate Azim? What's Azus Ponim? Look, go back to source number one. Az Ponim L'Gehinnom, Boshes Ponim L'Gan Eden.
Arrogant.
Sense of arrogance. Sense of, again, it's hard to say. An Ozponim, it means like to be daring. I think that's a better thing, to be like daring. That all sense in. So now we have a little bit of conundrum over here. Because on the one hand, we're told the reason why we're chosen is because we had this Ozponim, but then we have to have Busha. So the question is like, how do you work out the two different the character traits, right? So really, Rabbi Lopiansky explained that both are true. Both quality traits are necessary. The idea of being bashful, of being that, because if a person's not bashful, not embarrassed, then something can happen. If you look at the next page for a second, there's a medical condition. We were talking a little bit earlier about the diabetes and the insulin. Look at the second paragraph. An inability to feel pain and temperature often leads to repeated severe injuries, right? Unintentional self-injuries common people with CIPA, typically biting the tongue, lips, or fingers, which lead to spontaneous amputation of the affected areas. In addition, people with CIPA heal slowly from skin and bone injuries. Repeated trauma can lead to chronic bone infections, or condition called charcoat joints, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, in which the bones and tissue surrounding the joints are destroyed. That there's an ability to feel pain, because a person feels pain, he goes, I have to do something to solve this. If you would stop him and just realize, you know, Baruch Hashem, we got pizza here and French fries, so we're good, we're not hungry. But what if a person didn't have a sense of hunger? You wouldn't be able to give the body what it needs. You wouldn't realize, when you feel like I'm thirsty, my body needs to be hydrated. You're talking, right? You're talking about your nutrition class, the importance of hydration. Well, imagine you didn't have that thirst. It's a chesed that Hashem does for us by feeling thirsty, by being hungry, because now we're able to give the body what it needs. So too, just like in the physical sense, you need to have that sense of pain, because you wouldn't know to get help, right? The main motivating factor of people who go to dusty doctors, they want the pain to stop. If you didn't have that pain, you're not going to get yourself the necessary medical treatment that you need. And so too, again, just like physical pain is a reaction to a physical condition, so then let's fill in the blank. What do you think shame is? When I'm feeling shame, I'm showing that I'm morally alive, that I might have nerve endings that realize are sensitive to this, and I realize I'm embarrassed, I'm doing something wrong. And therefore, like you said, a person could change. Because you feel that sense of shame that really bleeds to something that becomes greater. We should actually give a karas atov. The Chovas HaLevavos says a person should feel a sense of thank you, Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. Joey Newcomb's song, thank you, Hashem, for the ability to be embarrassed. For the gift of being able to feel that emotion of shame. Because if I didn't feel shame and embarrassment, I would lead a life that's totally crazy, doing all sorts of inappropriate things. I never feel I'm doing anything wrong. So I am. Nothing wrong with what I am. Yeah. Question? Yeah.
So why do we daven in Berachas HaKodesh, Ayin Sheh, Ein Bayim, Yishol Klima?
Excellent. Nobody likes to be embarrassed. Nobody likes to be embarrassed. I'll give you an example. Rav Avigdor Miller once said, you know, what happens when a person points out to you something you're doing wrong? You like it, you don't like it.
You
fix it. You say, well, you like it, you don't like it. Do we need to hear it though? We're doing something. Yeah, we're really doing something wrong. Let's say a person has a temper, right? Okay, a person has a temper. A person's jealous. Is it not positive? Someone points it out to us. So Rav Avigdor Miller said, imagine a person took a diamond and threw it at you really, really hard. So it hurts when someone throws a diamond at you. But now I just got a diamond. Now I picked up a diamond because I realized I was behaving a certain way. I didn't realize that someone pointed it out to me. Now I had a diamond to carry with me. So when we're davening Birchas HaChodesh, I don't want any busha or chlima. I don't want to be embarrassed. I'm not asking for that. Make the question even stronger. David HaMelech, we're not supposed to ask for any nisayon, right? You're not supposed to daven for any nisayon. But they're beneficial to us, right? Next week's parsha, Avraham Avinu has this week's parsha also the nisayon of Lech Lecha. But the nisayon is nisyonos, or what build us. That they make us into great people. It's a different mission in Pirkei Avos, but it talks about the difference when counting the generations from, it says from Adam till Noach, 10 generations from Noach till Avraham. And there's a famous change when it says Avraham was tested with 10 tests. It doesn't say Avraham, it says Avraham Avinu. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner asks, why is it when we're just counting generations telling me 10 from Adam till Noach, Noach to Avraham, just Avraham. And yet once he's tested, he becomes Avraham Avinu, because a parent, Avram is our father, and a parent gives over a piece of themselves into the child. There's the biological DNA, and all of us have the spiritual DNA. And the son is something that helps us become greater. We don't ask for it. We never, ever ask Hashem to test us, because we don't know if we're going to pass. But it's a benefit to it. So, Sarah, I would tell you, the answer is, we ask not to have Bushro Chlima, but there's what to gain from it. Right? No one wants to be embarrassed, so it's a bad feeling. And that, we ask in the beginning, what is Gehinnom? Some of the Sfarim point out, you know what Gehinnom is? Like suffering? It's just embarrassment. What's it called, the Madison Square Garden, that like the big screen they have on the, what's it called, the Globetrotter? No one's talking about it? What's it, there's a name for it. The big screen at Madison Square Garden has a tie. Not the Globetron, or I don't know. But forget whatever. Imagine like the big screen. Imagine, you know, at MetLife Stadium, right? Siyum HaShas, 90,000 people there. And imagine they put Yir Veros up on the big screen television. So 90,000 people saw, speaking Lashon Hara, da-da-da-da-da-da, you'd be so embarrassed. We're embarrassed if one person finds out about it. If two people, if 10, if our friends, if our family, if our grandmother found out what we're doing, we'd be so embarrassed. But when 90,000 people, it's that attribute of busha. It shows that we're alive. It shows that we're alive. Now shame, isn't only associated with a sin. This is what I want to point out. This is what I'm basing everything today from Rabbi Lopiansky. Shame could come from a sense of feeling inadequate. When we become aware and sensitive that we're humans, and because we're humans, we're not perfect. We can't do this. There's a few cases that he brings. When Klal Yisrael were standing at Har Sinai, right, that we recorded the Pesukim already in Parshas Yisro about that sense of fear and of busha, because we felt inadequate. I don't deserve to be here with the Gili Shechina. You have this in Yecheskel and Perek Vav, where Yecheskel says, I can't do this. Or you have by with Moshe and the Sneh. The sense of like, I'm inadequate. And that shame is not a sin base, it's just a feeling like I'm not worthy of this. This is something that's just so far beyond my level. And I think, you know, when you think about it, that's more of a refined understanding of it. That's the midas habusha. That's what we're talking about when we're saying that we have the sense of embarrassment. When we can't help but feel how small we are when we're close to the Shechina. There's a beautiful story. I like 5 more minutes. There's a beautiful story with the Chazon Ish. I was about to look around because this would be the old room, right? So I'm going to run to show you my picture of the Chazon Ish. We have to run upstairs to go find a picture of the Chazon Ish. But Chazon Ish, one of the greatest Rabbonim in the last decade, he passed away, I think, in 1957. And now B'nai Barak, it's all built up. But back then, they didn't have like electricity. Kind of like Muncie. No, there's no street lights. So B'nai Barak didn't have any street lights. They put one lamp, one street light by the house of the Chazon Ish. He didn't ask for it, but like that's what they put it. They put it in front of his house, the Gadol Hador. So they asked the Chazon Ish, like, everything obviously is a metaphor. You can learn something in serving Hashem. So what do you learn from the street lamp? So the Chazon Ish said a beautiful answer. When you're far away from the lamp, right? When you're walking towards it, you have a big shadow. But the closer and closer you get, you're walking closer and closer to the light, what happens to your shadow? It gets smaller and smaller. And then what happens when you're like right directly underneath it? There is no shadow. It goes away. He says the light is Or Torah. The light is a metaphor for Hashem's Torah. People who are far from the Torah have a big shadow, a big sense of self, a big ego. But the closer they get, the more they get closer to the Torah, their sense of ego becomes smaller and smaller and smaller. And then finally, when you're standing right there and you're connected to it your mamash with the Shechina, you're nothing. You have no sense. It's complete bittul. So that's a beautiful idea, and that's what this midas habusha is. About feeling, who am I when I'm touched with something that's so much bigger than it? Now, that's why it's a wonderful thing, this midah of busha, to understand the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? That's what it means. You know why we had this midah of the busha, right? We were razed upon him, it all comes together. Because you have to understand, let's go back, reevaluating that midah of pain. Turn to the next page. Oh, I'm sorry, let me read the Gemara in Brachos. Let me do that first. Omer, you see it, Brachos on source number 11. Omer Rav Bar Chanina. Anybody who does an aveira and then has a busha, mochlin lo al kol avonos. That a person has a mechila for that. They're forgiven for all that because we're able to question. Yeah.
Why would you? What's the point of teshuva then if you're just forgiven if you're embarrassed?
No, it doesn't mean you just embarrassment. It means that embarrassment serves as the impetus to get you to do teshuva. Right, but if you're not, if we have to be aware of our imperfections, and when I feel that, and I'm really connecting with it, you know, then that's what I mean. That's going to help me to do the teshuva. But some people don't realize that. Some people don't feel embarrassed because, after all, everyone's doing it. And if everyone's doing it, I can't be wrong. So that's the Rambam who points out in Hilchos Deos that a person could feel like. Let me go backwards. Let me kind of give it a little. Back and the Rambam's talking about how we're affected by who we surround ourselves with. And if we surround ourselves by good people, we'll be elevated. And obviously if we surround ourselves by people who are not good, we're gonna be lessened as a result of our exposure to them. It's impossible. So like those laws of the physical universe, those laws of gravity, right? You know, things drop. There's those laws of social interactions. When you hang out with people, you become affected by them. You cannot remain unaffected. This is so important when picking a profession, when picking a job, when picking a community, when picking a spouse, when picking making major life decisions. We have the Rambam's telling us, the Hilchos Deos, that this affects how we do. He says, Derech Briyoso Shal Adam Lios Nimshach B'deosov Masov Acher Reov V'Chaverov Hanoi B'Minhag Anshe Medina. So everyone follows that. So a person feels like, you know, I'm going to do what everyone else is doing. So then sometimes a person could feel, well, I'm not doing anything wrong because everyone else is doing this right. So what Hashem said, when I'm going to pick a nation, I'm going to look to a nation that's not afraid of being different. That's not afraid of doing that. That's Avram Avinu. Parshas Lech Lecha is all about Avram Avinu saying, I'm going to do the right thing and it doesn't matter what the rest of the world is, right? Avram Ivri. He's called the Ivri because he's on one side of the world and everybody else is on the other side of the world. And Hashem says, you know what? Let's read the last one. This is a direct quote from Rabbi Lopiansky. We'll end with this. When Hashem is choosing the nation to receive the Torah, he looked for those who had no fear of being different than their surrounding society in their assessment of right and wrong. Meaning, if you're just going to go everyone else's, then that's not somebody's looking for. Therefore, they had to be a nation that didn't care all that much about what others thought of them. That's why Israel received the Torah. The Jewish people, the Azim, the daring ones among the nations. Just as Avraham was undaunted by common wisdom and public opinion, I don't care what everyone else is doing when it comes to Avodah Zarah, so too Klal Yisrael needs to be ready when it knows it's right, no matter what derision may come its way. We don't care. It doesn't sound nice to say this, but it's true. The Torah is not politically correct. The Torah is just correct. And when the Torah takes a stand and tells us what is the moral correct way to behave, it doesn't matter if society agrees with us or disagrees with us. We're not held accountable to the UN or to public opinions or to the New York Times. We're not held accountable to what people say on their Facebook status. We're held accountable to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands of us. And he revealed to us in the Torah what is moral and what's immoral. And there's a very big confusion when people are afraid to actually speak it out and to call it and say, this is wrong. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked us for, because of Avram Avinu, where he did what was wrong. And he told people this. Let's just finish off. Nevertheless, Klal Yisrael does have a very powerful faculty of shame. When Hashem descended on Mount Sinai, he burned into Klal Yisrael a searing sense of right and wrong as measured by the divine. And it's this sense of shame that has the power to keep Klal Yisrael eternally straight. So a quick recap. We saw in Pirkei Avos that the idea behind this is that there's a wonderful meat of having shame. We saw that's the first real character trait that's used in the Torah. And if the first time anything appears, that's the root behind all of it. And when we use this midah of shame, that we're able to see that we're spiritually sensitive and we can help and correct, and that we feel that, you know, if you don't feel the shame, that means like you're spiritually dead. You have no connection. You don't, nothing bothers you. But when you feel a sense of like I'm doing something wrong, because it shows that your moral compass is still alive and well, and your nerve endings haven't been severed. I heard a very interesting story recently. This happened. I'm going to give you the date of it. It happened October 5th, 2021. So, drop over a year ago. It happened in Enegol. It's a city in northwest Turkey. There was a 51-year-old construction worker. The guy's name is Behan Mutlu. Behan Mutlu. Nice Turkish name. So, he's out with his buddies drinking in the forest. He drank a lot. And then he, like, wanders off away from his friends. His cell phone dies. His wife can't get in touch with him. And all the drinking buddies say he like wandered off, he's lost in the forest. So they call in a security. They have a military and a whole rescue squad to find this man who's lost in the forest. Meanwhile, this guy again, Behan Mulu, drunk, he finds like a little cottage or something, goes in, sleeps it off, wakes up like in the middle of the night when he hears like a search team outside the cottage. He gets up, walks outside, and they say, I'm looking for a lost person. So he joins the search party. He joins the search party that's looking for him, and for hours, he goes with them. And finally, what he realizes it when he hears one of the people calling out his own name, Behan Mutlu. Oh my goodness, you're searching for me? He goes, I'm here. What? So they didn't believe him. They say, what kind of meshugana joins a search party to look for himself? So all they had to get his drunken construction buddies to come and identify him and say, yeah, this is him, right? By the way, I was reading the article. At the end of it, the guy's like 50. He said, please don't tell my father. I don't want to get in trouble. 50-year-old, grow up. You're 50 years old. You have a wife. You're getting it. Please don't tell my father I want to get him seven. Okay. But I think this is such a powerful metaphor. Such a powerful metaphor. We're always searching, but we're searching outside of ourselves. We're searching, and we're distracting ourselves. We have an innate compass inside of us. We know inherently what is right and wrong. We have to trust ourselves. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Torah. He gave us a neshama. We're connected with the spiritual and biological descendants of Avraham Avinu. And because of that, we have Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and all the imahos. They're inside of us. Our DNA, our compass, is all comprised from these gedolim, from these kedoshim, tahorim. And because of that, when we do something wrong, we feel it. But we shouldn't feel ashamed of our shame. We should feel grateful for that sense of shame because it's really a gift. So I think that's a powerful lesson we can learn from the Pirkei Avos. I want to thank everybody for coming, sticking around. And again, let me just get the names. Tonight's learning is Le'ili Nimish's Reb Meir Ben Chaim Eliezer. Okay, shkoyach, everybody.